I wonder this morning how you're feeling. I wonder if thinking about recent events in the world, how that is making each one of us feel. A little perturbed, maybe. It can be a pretty frightening place. What do we believe this morning? Who's in control this morning? What are the core foundations upon which our faith are built? Our faith, our trust in Jesus. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Never has that been more true, or never has it been more easily observed than in the last few weeks in the political discourse we've seen going on our televisions. Words spoken, actions taken. Words have the power to tear down, and I'm sure we've all experienced that in our lives. People have said things to us, said things about us, things perhaps not very nice. And that may conjure up memories in your minds, even as I say it, of things that have been said and really hurt. But also words have the power to build up, to encourage. Words go a really long way. I don't know if I've shared this, and forgive me, because speaking to you guys at different times and different groups, and sometimes I might repeat myself to you, and I ask your forgiveness if I do that. But about 15 years ago, I did a triathlon. Have I told you this story before? Hallelujah, it's a new one. I did a triathlon in London. I did the London Olympic distance triathlon. It wasn't an Olympic triathlon. I'm not an Olympic athlete, trust me. But I did this triathlon, and my family came down, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, my kids, my wife. They came down to London to watch me do this triathlon. Anyway, it was at, we swam in St. Catherine's Dock, and it was disgusting, trust me. You can't swim without getting water in your mouth, and it was horrible. Anyway, I did the swim, and I did the bike. Now, the swim was a mile, the bike was 40 kilometres, and then the run. But on the bike leg, they closed the roads in this part of London, and you go down this dual carriageway, and, you know, 40 kilometres, two laps, I think it was. And as I came through this part where most of the spectators were, I came around this corner, and then most of the spectators were lining the streets and over this bridge that went over the road or up there. And as I came through, I thought, I'm just going to really put it in here so it looks good. I knew my family were watching. And I was pretty tired at this point, but as I went through, I just heard these voices of my family in this crowd of hundreds and hundreds of people. I heard my children say, "Go, Dad!" And do you know what that did for me inside? It just, all of a sudden, my legs were flooded with energy, and I just overtook this guy who was going backwards. And I overtook this guy, and I just hammered it through this place. The power of words and encouragement is really, really important. It can take you from feeling down here to being up there. I was told yesterday about a preacher that used to be here that waved his arms all about. I'm not going to do that, I promise. I'll stop now. I'm just trying to say words are really important. Around 1520, Jacob Lefebvre translated the first French language Bible. A literate group of emerging entrepreneurs devoured its early printings, meeting secretly in homes to study near the Franco-Flemish border, where the Dutch were interspersed with the French. Many of you will know this. They referred to themselves as a Huis Genutum. Okay, which in Dutch is translated as House Oathfellow, and eventually Huguenot. So you've probably all heard of the Huguenots. The Huguenots were different in three ways. First, they were literate. which most of the population weren't at that time. Mostly it was just the clergy that were the literate people. Second, they were economically independent from the old agrarian systems of landowning nobles and landworking serfs. Most of the Huguenots were artisans and business owners. And third, they wanted a participatory Christianity where they could read the scriptures for themselves and meditate upon their readings, their meanings. It was a bottom-up system of Christianity. By contrast, the medieval Catholic Church, with the mass and priests at the head, spoon-fed the parishioners what they wanted them to know. And this isn't strictly, this isn't a Catholic Protestant thing, because I'm sure many churches have tried to control their people. On August 24th, 1572, known as St. Bartholomew's Day, and several days thereafter, Frenchmen slaughtered 100,000 of their Huguenot countrymen throughout France, 10,000 in Paris alone. They were troubled times. If you were a Huguenot, or if you had a certain religious belief, this incident was known as the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre, and it was the bloodiest week in the history of the Huguenots, and the blackest day in French history. We're coming up to the 500th anniversary in this year of the publication of Tyndale's New English Testament, the first to be translated directly from the original Greek. The project got Tyndale in trouble. He had to escape England. He was arrested in Antwerp and imprisoned for 16 months near modern-day Brussels. He was charged with heresy, beliefs or theories that went against established beliefs and religion and customs of the church, for his translation of the Bible, for which we are so grateful today. On the 6th of October, 1536, almost pretty much the same time as the Huguenots were persecuted, William Tyndale was fixed at the stake. There are children here, so we won't talk any more about that. But a complete analysis of the authorised King James Version of our Bible was made in 1998, and it shows that Tyndale's words account for 84% of the New Testament and 75% of the Old Testament. Wow. Wow. Words are really important, and we are still reading those words today in this. But the basic tenets of our Christian faith are summarised in our creeds, the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed. Statements of religious belief. I take great comfort at times listening to those words, reaffirming my faith. But the words, I know we talked about the creed before, so I don't want to hammer that, but the words at the end of the creed say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Wow. Wow, the forgiveness of sins. Hey, we all need a bit of that, don't we? Wow. I mean, the words in there, that the Holy Catholic Church, they don't equate to the Roman Catholic Church. It's talking about the universal church, including the Catholic Church, of which our brother John is a member. Welcome, John. Especially welcome this morning. We've just heard the core beliefs upon which the church, through history, stands. There's been a verse that's been a great encouragement to me over some really difficult times of my life. There have been many, but one in particular that I turn to if I'm feeling a little bit unsure. Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep him, her, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. He will keep in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. Like an athlete, eyes and mind fixed on the goal of a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Times like this, as I said earlier, can be scary. I read a story about World War II where children orphaned by the bombing in the Second World War that were fortunate enough to land up in refugee camps because they'd lost so much and experienced starvation. They were so fearful that they couldn't sleep. And the people that ran the camps didn't know what to do. What on earth could they do to rectify this impossible situation with these traumatized children? Somebody had a crazy idea, and that was to send each child to bed with a piece of bread in their hands. Bread to hold, real food to hold, so that as they went to sleep, they could relax and sleep knowing that in the morning they would have something to eat. Genius. Children that have been starved, genius. Give them something to hold on to. Jesus himself said, "I am the bread of life." Food for the soul that we can hold in our hands. Food that can sustain us. Food that we can have in our bedside, Christ within us. Where is our security this morning? Where is your security this morning? Do you know you have to have peace within your life to be able to give peace away? If you're not at peace in yourself, you do not inspire peace into other people. What's your bread when you worry about circumstances? What is it that you hang on to? What's the rock you stand and hang on to for dear life when everything seems to be going wrong? Because it may be happening right now. And I know some people are going through difficult times. Or it may have already happened. Or it may be on the horizon. But what are you going to hang on to? What are those handrails that you hold on to when you're walking through life and it gets rocky and turbulent? And if you've got that bread of life within you, abiding within you, you can sleep peacefully knowing that he is there. He is in control. Whatever happens, he is in control. Hebrews tells us, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. I love this next bit because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? And it goes on to say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and tomorrow and forever. Jesus' own words said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Physically we will, unless God comes before we die. But spiritually you will never die. And another thing Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. It's my prayer that he gives us expectant hearts that eagerly await and press on to the goal for which God has called us and chosen us. Corinthians tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Scripture tells us that if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. So many promises in Scripture. So many promises. I recently came across a verse that I'd not heard before. And Galatians tells us in Galatians 6:15, the second part of that verse, it tells us what counts is a new creation. What counts is that we become new creations. That verse that was read out this morning, which is just an incredible verse. You can see it in your program. It says, verse 9, Romans, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Simply put, confess Christ is Lord and believe it, you will be saved. But going back to my previous point, to be able to confess Jesus is Lord, a change has to happen in our lives at some point. What is it Scripture tells us? Paul told the crowds who had heard the message about Jesus, and they said, what shall we do? What must we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized. Repent meaning to turn from your old way of life, to basically do a 180 degree turn and follow God, follow Christ, follow what he has planned for your lives. And be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Amazing, amazing truths that we hear this morning. Turn from your life of sin. And that's about becoming more godlike as we grow and journey in this life. I remember many years ago in the church that I went to as a child, we had this expectation. I mean, I didn't understand it fully, but there was an expectation that when people came to the church, they had to get cleaned up first before they could know Christ. Forgive me, I don't want to offend any sensibilities here, but if you smoked or had a tattoo or any number of things, you couldn't come to Christ. You had to stop smoking first, maybe get rid of your tattoos, get married if you were living with your partner. Sort your life out before you come to Christ was the message that I got as a young child. But actually, I think the message that Jesus gives is come to me, accept me. And as you give your life to me, I will begin to sort out the bits that I don't like. The bits that I see in you that need to change. But we as people tend to put our own expectations on others. I've learnt this lesson so much over the last few years. Great example of this. Sorry, I'm talking a long time. Judas. You think about Judas. Judas shared in the Last Supper with Christ. Jesus served the man who was going to betray him that supper. So if he can do that for Judas, he can do it for us. Wow. But the thing is, God loves us too much to leave us as we are. Amen. We're all on a journey of change. We're all learning day by day. So I want to encourage you this morning, God is in control. God is in control of what's going on in the world. God is in control of our lives. If we've accepted him as our Lord and said, Lord, take over my life, he's in control of our lives. Please be encouraged. What an amazing God we serve. Amen.